Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, I'd like to thank Bert for the opportunity to get to share in chapel today. And I'd also like to thank my mom for coming. And we'll probably walk around the building, so many of you will probably get to meet her here in a little while. So today we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. And, you know, what does that mean in our daily lives? So I want to give everybody a heads up that we're going to ask several questions today and look through how we can go about answering these and how they affect each and every one of us. So jumping right in. So the first question I want to ask is, in this day and age, what are some things people get excited about? And looking at some of your common answers, you know, spending time with family and friends, maybe getting a new house, getting a new car, going to watch a football game, you know, watching sports on TV, going on a vacation, watching TV, playing video games, and then also just some other things like going to a concert, maybe it's an amusement park, maybe you want to go play putt-putt, bowling. That's some of the common answers you would get when you ask that question. So the second question I want to ask each and every one of us is, are we as Christians excited and passionate about the right things? And this is going to be one of the questions we're going to work through throughout the lesson. So this thought that what we do with our time and money, as well as what we consistently think about, shows what we care about. And on the same note, you know, when someone's excited and looking forward to something, they're going to talk about it with other people. So when I was younger, every year we did a family reunion camp out at my great-granddad's house over in Bland, Virginia. It's where he used to live, and they've got some land. All of my cousins would come in, aunts and uncles, grandparents. It was always awesome. And it was something I always looked forward to. I would count down. I'd be like, just 5 months till we get to go to camp out. Just 3 months till the camp out. And if somebody were to ask me, Levi, is there anything you're excited about? I was more than happy to tell you. And if you didn't ask me, I was still going to tell you. A few things we did there. We'd have a campfire. We'd have s'mores together, you know, talk. Some of the people, this was the only time I got to see them all year, so I really look forward to it. We went hiking across the ridge together. Us cousins would go four-wheeling. We went fishing. It was just a blast. You know, I always had an expectation that it was going to be amazing and always, you know, look forward to that. So when something big or monumental happens in our life, that's also something that we're going to share about. So an example I think about is if I was at the Grand Canyon and I fell off the cliff, and I would have died, and somebody grabs me by the hand and saves me, that's something I feel like I'm going to tell a lot of people about over a long time. It's not something I'm going to forget about over the course of a week or over 2 weeks. And so I think, how much more should we be sharing Christ and what he's done for us, saving us from eternal death, torment, punishment, separation from him, and giving us the free gift of salvation and eternal life with God? You know, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this summer, back in July, I got the opportunity to go to Honduras with my church. It was my first time going outside the United States. We went and partnered with a church in Yoro, Honduras, which is about a four-hour drive southeast of San Pedro. While we were there, we did a lot of different things. So this picture on your all's left is at a police station in Honduras. Up at the front, you'll see some of the people from Honduras, as well as some of the people from our church. We had a worship service there, and then there was a lesson where the gospel was presented. We gave out a box lunch to each police officer, as well as a Bible. And then over on the right side, this was at a school that had grades ranging from kindergarten to fifth grade. And there was still kids coming in when I took this picture. Very packed room. And one of the high school girls on our team shared her testimony and shared the gospel there. And, you know, that was awesome to see. Then on another day, we got the opportunity to go to this trash dump a couple of people at the church we were serving at told us that a lot of people down there would go to this dump and just look around for a whole day for anything of even little value that they could use in their homes or that they could sell. So we put together food bags with a Bible in them and went, and you'll see on the right side picture, that's of us praying with each family, and then we gave them a bag. In the mornings during the week there, we did door-to-door evangelism. So that picture on the left is we're getting ready to go in to a home. We typically split up into three or four groups and went out from the church. We had a couple people from the church there in Honduras with us. And we did that each morning. It was, you know, amazing. Each group had a translator. And then the picture on the right is a picture of what we did in the afternoons during the week. And that was we had a VBS. So we did a lesson time, games, crafts, music, and also skits. And so before I go to the next slide, 2 days before I left on this trip, I got a text from the girl who was over the skits for our church. And she was like, Levi, several of us think you'd be really good to be Jesus for the skits on a mission trip. Would you be willing to do that? It's like no pressure. There's no, you know, memorization. It's just acting. And I was like, I'm going on a mission trip. I have to say yes to this. I didn't find out about the costume until I got there. And still to this minute, I don't know who thought it was more funny, the people from my church or the kids there. But it was awesome. We did a couple of skits. We did Jesus with the woman at the well, as well as Jesus calming a storm. So there were several things that stood out to me from my trip in Honduras. But one thing stood out more than anything. And that was that, you know, they're not as blessed financially as we are here in the United States. Their daily lives aren't as comfortable as ours are. But the Christians there seem to me to have more of a longing and excitement for heaven than we do. And that was convicting to me, and that's been something that I've been wrestling with and thinking about the last few months since that trip. So that leads me into my next question I want to ask us today, is how much do we think about our eternal home? You know, how often do we think about heaven? Because Satan has a lot of ways to keep us distracted from thinking about heaven and from wanting to share the gospel with other people. A few of the main ways is busyness. I mean, we live in such a busy world. There's always stuff going on. You know, family activities. We've got work. You've got chores. Volunteer things. It's so easy to be overcommitted. And then stress and fear. You know, maybe we have a sick family member. You got family and car payments. Nervous about change. And in comparison to other people, you know, it could be as simple as just trying to impress other people instead of trying to honor God. So I like this quote from Adrian Rogers. He said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So what are a few of the ways that we can combat some of Satan's strategies he uses against us? One is being intentional and make reading the Bible a priority in our lives. Two, you know, surrounding ourselves with godly men and women who will help us grow in the Lord. And if we're unsure about something, we should go to the Bible first, see what it says about it. And, you know, instead of worrying about a person or a situation, we should pray for that person or that situation. If we find ourselves wanting more things, we should, you know, count our many blessings. Sometimes for me, if I've had a heart where I'm feeling like I'm not not thankful, a lot of times if I start thinking about what I have, starting with eternal life in the Lord and then listing all the way out, a lot of times it turns from ungrateful heart to a grateful heart quickly. And that doesn't always happen, but sometimes. And so when Jesus was talking to the crowd in the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew chapter 6, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we're going to talk about this idea that materialistic things and activities of the world can keep our focus off of God. There's so many things in the world today that's fighting for our time, our money, our energy, our effort, our thoughts, our attention. And just a few of the ones I've mentioned here, there's obviously many, many more. But social media, the internet, TV, wanting to be accepted by other people, politics. You know, we're just 2 weeks away from the election. It feels like every which way you turn, that's what people's talking about. And also entertainment. So I think it's important that we've got to keep our perspective. We can't let us get away from thinking that, you know, this world's just our temporary home. We can't get to the point that we forget about our eternal heavenly home and our high calling of, you know, sharing Christ in this world. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." I think this is a really powerful quote by Charles Swindoll. He said, "Whatever we do, we must not treat the Great Commission like it's the Great Suggestion." Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And, you know, none of us know how many days we have left of when we could die. And, you know, the Bible says no one knows when Christ is coming back. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and asked about his second coming, wanting to know what are the signs, what can we be looking for. And he replied to him in verse 36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He then told them about there'd be two men in a field working, one to be taken, the other left. Two women to be working at a mill, one to be taken, and the other left. Then in verse 44, he said, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And I can't remember what pastor I heard say this, but it's always stuck with me. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. You know, each and every one of us has a purpose here on earth. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What does, you know, having our identity in Christ look like? You know, if we're a Christian, every aspect of our life should be affected by that. Our relationship with others, you know, how we treat other people, how we talk to other people, what we think about. You know, we're told in the Bible we should take our thoughts captive to God. How we respect authority, how we spend our money, what we do with our time, what kind of books, music, movies, TV shows we engage in, everything should be affected as a follower of Christ. A couple other verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I like how Stephen Furtick talked about identity in Christ. "The more deeply we reinforce our identity in Christ, the more fortified we will be against the onslaught of opposing voices in our lives." You know, so when we're Christians and we have our identity in Christ, we're not told that it's always going to be easy here on earth. There's still going to be hard times. We're still going to experience and have pain. We're going to have disappointment. We might be sad at times. But the good news is we know that this is only for a short time, that our eternal home is in heaven with God. And, you know, Jesus free gift of eternal life through salvation is the greatest hope any of us can have as Christians. As it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God. And I believe the more we think about what Christ has done for us and how incredible heaven's going to be, the more apt we will be to share the good news of the gospel in our daily lives. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for CMDA. Thank you for the opportunity to get to work here. And that, you know, we get to work for an organization that shares your word around the world. I pray that each one of us would have a passion, that we'd have an excitement to grow closer to you, as well as to share your gospel with others, to realize that, you know, we have a limited time here on this earth, and that we use it to the best of our abilities for you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.